The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 21, text number 9, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 5th, 2011, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gopya Kim Acharat Ayam Kushalam Sma Venu Damodara Adara Shudham Api Gopikanam Bhunkte Svayam Yat Avashishta Rasam Hridinya Hrishyat Tvacha Ashru Mumuchu Tarava Yata Arya Gopya Kim Si Gopya Kim Acharayam Kushalam Smavi. Okay. Gopa kyamacha radayam kushalam svavenur.
Gopa kyamacha radayam kushalam svavenur.
Damo daradara sudam api gopikanam.
Damo daradara sudam api gopikanam.
Bhunkte svayam ya avashishta rasam hridinyo. Hrishyat vachoshri tu mumush chutaro vayatharya.
Hrishyat vachoshri tu mumush
chutaro vayatharya. Gopya kimacha radayam kushalam smavenur.
Gopya kimacha radayam kushalam smavenur.
Damo daradara sudam api gopikanam.
Damo
Bhunkte svayam yadavashishta rasam hridinyo.
Bhunkte svayam yadavashishta rasam hridinyo.
Hrishyat vachoshra mumuchu staravo yatharya.
Hrishyat vachoshra mumuchu
staravo yatharya. Gopya kyamacha radayam kushalam svavenur.
Gopya kyamacha
Damo daradara sudam api gopikanam.
Damo daradara sudam api gopikanam.
Bhunkte svayam yadavashishta rasam hridinyo.
Bhunkte svayam yadavashishta rasam hridinyo.
Hrishyat vachoshra tumuchu staravo yatharya. Gopya,
Gopya.
O gopis,
Kim,
what,
Acharat,
performed, Ayam,
this,
Kushalam,
auspicious activities,
Sma, certainly,
Venu,
the flute, Damodara,
of Krishna,
Adara Sudham,
the nectar of the lips,
Api,
even,
Gopikanam,
which is owed to the gopis,
Bhunkte,
enjoys,
Svayam,
independently,
yet,
from which,
Avashishta,
remaining,
Rasam,
the taste only,
Hridinya,
the rivers, Rishyat. Feeling jubilant. Tvachaha. Whose bodies? Ashru. Tears. Mumuchu. Shed. Tarava. The trees. Yata. Exactly like. Arya. Old forefathers. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ansha Lila 16.140. In the guise of releasing flowing sap, the bamboo trees are actually crying tears of ecstasy upon seeing their child become an exalted devotee, flute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Sanatana Goswami gives an alternative explanation. The trees are crying because they are unhappy at not being able to play with Krishna themselves. One may object that the trees in Vrindavan should not lament for that which is impossible for them to obtain, just as a beggar certainly doesn't lament because he is forbidden to meet the king. But the trees are actually just like intelligent persons who suffer when they cannot obtain the goal of life. Thus the trees are crying because they cannot get the nectar of Krishna's lips. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, someone might become bewildered. How can there be two different explanations of the same verse, which seem to contradict each other? One account is they're crying tears of ecstasy. And the other account is they're crying tears of lamentation. So how could both be true? This reminds me, when I was a young brahmachari, I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport that the Ajurveda is the original Veda. And then I read in a Bhaktivedanta magazine article of a lecture by Prabhupada that the Atharva Veda is the original Veda. I was going, what? How the Ajurveda can be the original and the Atharva Veda can be the original? So at that time I was under the expert guidance. Prabhupada said it was expert guidance, by the way. He told me. He said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. So I asked Vishnu Janaswami and said, Swami, we call Him Swami. I said, Swami, I can understand how the Ajurveda can be the original and the Atharva Veda can be the original. What was His answer? He said, they're both the original Veda. And that made a lot of sense, because that means he has full faith in the words of his spiritual master. The spiritual master says the Atharva Veda is the original Veda. That's true. And if he says the Yajur Veda is the original Veda, that's also true. Even though it doesn't make any sense logically. You see? That is called full faith in the words of the spiritual master. And I accepted it, and it made sense to me. And then many years later, in Prabhupada's purport to the Bhagavatam, which came out in a later volume, which hadn't been published at that time when I first read about it, he said that according to some authorities, the Ajurveda is the original Veda, and according to others, the Atharva Veda is the original Veda. So you can cite either Vaishnava authority, even though they disagree with each other, you can cite either one of them and be correct. But actually, I would say that even though they appear to contradict each other, these two versions, they're both correct, and they don't really contradict each other, and I'll explain how. First, let us look at the first explanation, which is the one that I've explained this many times. You see, the bamboos are standing, it's described somewhere in Prabhupada's books, I think it's Krishna book. The bamboos are standing proud and tall. Why? Because one of their family members is Krishna's flute. You see? They're so happy. They're so happy. They're in ecstasy. The hair is standing on end. Bhava, symptom of bhava. You see, they're in a state of bhava, standing in ecstasy. Then one of our family members is Krishna's flute. You mean say, what's the big deal about being Krishna's flute? I thought the real thing was to be a gopi. I mean, what's the thing about being a flute? What's so great about being Krishna's flute? I mean, you know, someone may ask, you know, I thought gopi bhava was the real thing, not flute bhava. But as I was explaining, I've explained many times before, as yesterday I was explaining also during my arrival talk, every devotee has his particular rasa. And every devotee experiences that my rasa is the best rasa. That's why they're in that rasa. Otherwise they switch. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. You can switch rasas if you want, Prabhupada said. So everybody is in that rasa which they like the best. So why would the flute want to be a flute instead of being a gopi? I mean, they say gopi is the best. Why? Because he's thinking that I get Krishna's lips much more than the gopis do. Therefore, my position is better than that of the gopis, you see. And here the gopis are analyzing the flute's position. That flute is getting practically all the nectar Krishna, he's taking practically all the nectar from Krishna, and we're just getting the remnants of the flute's nectar. That's all we get. We gopis only get what's left over from the flute. After the flute has taken all the nectar from Krishna's lips, now we just get a little bit tiny left. Us gopi girls hardly get anything. The flute takes what they call the lion's share, you see. The flute takes the lion's share of Krishna's nectar, and we just get that little tiny You know, that taste at the end, whatever's left over, you know. A few crumbs of nectar after the flute took the full feast, you see. That's what the gopis are saying here. And the gopis are noting that the bamboo trees are shedding tears of pleasure. That means they're crying in ecstasy that one of us flute people, you see, one of us flute, the flute species, the bamboo species, I mean to say, one of us bamboites, one of us bamboos is getting all this nectar. So they're not feeling envious, but they're feeling happy, you see. Just like one time when Prabhupada came back from his morning walk in Los Angeles, you see. We all got some nectar from Prabhupada. We would line up along the sidewalk, and Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers, and we'd each one have a flower. And Prabhupada came down the line, we'd give Prabhupada a flower, and he'd give one to us, you see. But I was standing there with Vishnu Janaswami. He got a big hug from Prabhupada, you see. And was I envious? Oh, Vishnu Janaswami gets a hug, but I don't get it. I didn't get a hug. No. Because I was one of his men, see? I was a Vishnu Jan man. And my leader got a hug. So I felt like I was hugged just by seeing him getting hugged. You see what I'm saying? I felt totally enlivened. Just see, Prabhupada has hugged Vishnu Janaswami, and I was one of his men. So I felt like I was also hugged, you see? Because Vishnu Jan was hugged. So in the same way, you see, all the bamboos are feeling they're getting the nectar too, because one of our bamboos, he's getting all the nectar, more than the gopis even get. They just get a little bit left over at the end, whatever the flute has taken. The flute gets the full feast, and the gopis only get a few crumbs at the end of the meal, you see. So all the bamboos are feeling just enlivened in complete ecstasy, you see. And not only are the bamboos enlivened, but his mother is described the mother. You see, just like you suck your mother's breast milk, you see. The one you suck the milk from, that's your mother. So where are the bamboos? How do they grow so tall? They suck the water out of the river, you see. So the river is the mother of the bamboo. So the gopis are observing his mother, the river, feels jubilation. In other words, the river is feeling so enlivened that my water has nourished the flute, which is getting all of this nectar from the lips of Krishna. And the lotus flowers, which are going in the water, are feeling so enlivened that I happen to be in the water. The lotus flowers are so enlivened that I'm in the water that nourish the flute that's getting the nectar from Krishna's lips. What is this called? Dasa, dasa, nudasa. You see? The lotus flowers are in the water that nourish the flute that became the bamboo that became the flute that's getting all this nectar from Krishna's lips. So even the lotus flowers are standing in ecstasy. The lotus flowers are standing in ecstasy. The flute is standing. The bamboos are standing in ecstasy. And the gopis are going, wow, this flute is getting all the nectar. We just get a little bit left over. They're appreciating it, you see. They're saying, what auspicious activities this flute must have done to enjoy this nectar and leave only a little taste for us gopi girls. It's actually meant for us. We're the highest level. We're the highest rasa. You see, we're in the conjugal ras. This flute's in the neutrality or in the servitude ras. He's in a lower ras, but still he's getting more nectar than us. So they're going, wow, this is amazing. What kind of auspicious activities this flute did to get this position. So that's the direct understanding, according to the translation here given by Prabhupada, you see. But now Sanatana Goswami gives us an alternative explanation. They're actually unhappy that we don't get to play with Krishna. But you know what? That's the highest playing with Krishna. Vrindavanam parityaja napada ekam gacchati. It is stated in the revealed scriptures that Krishna never sets Vrindavanam parityaja. You can translate the Sanskrit. Vrindavanam parityaja. What does parityaja mean? Do you know that verse parityaja appears in? Sarvadharman parityaja. Giving up or abandoning. So, Vrindavanam parityaja. Abandoning Vrindavan. Na means not. Pada foot ekam one. Gachati, he goes. So what does that mean if you put it all together in English? Krishna never even steps one foot outside of Vrindavan. You see? So why does his leaving Vrindavan is an appearance only. So why does Krishna make a show of leaving Vrindavan when actually he never leaves it? Why does he make that show of leaving Vrindavan? To stoke the flames of love in the heart of the gopis, to make it hotter and hotter and hotter. That fire of love burning in the heart of the gopis, he simply wants to, just like when the fire is dying out, you fan it and bring it back. So he's fanning the sparks of love in the heart of the gopis into a blazing bonfire of love. That's why Krishna appears to leave Vrindavan. So, if the trees are crying, not being able to play with Krishna, that is tears of separation. So on one level, they're crying in ecstasy. And on a level, in other words, they're crying, they're actually able to cry in two different dimensions, if you can understand them. They'll simultaneously, just like a pure devotee, he can, Prahlad Maharaj is an example mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He is simultaneously manifesting activities in the spiritual world and the material world, both at the same time. The pure devotee can actually live in two different dimensions simultaneously and have activities in both dimensions simultaneously. So the trees are pure devotees, completely pure devotees. Therefore, they're able to manifest two-dimensional lilas. Simultaneously, they can be crying in ecstasy and simultaneously crying in lamentation. Because that lamentation actually increases the ecstasy even more. Just like we have that vegetable, bitter melon. We take that prasadam sometimes. You have bitter melon here in Mauritius? Bitter melon? You have, Kerala? You have Kerala, yes. Now, it's very bitter. Very bitter. But what does it do? It makes the sweets even sweeter. By taking that bitter melon, the sweets become even sweeter, isn't it? So, in your feast, you get the sweets and you get the bitter. Both things are there, you see. So, in the feast of Vrindavan Lila, you see, there's many preps in that feast. So, one is the bitter. They're crying that I can't play with Krishna. Oh, I can't play with Krishna. Oh, I can't play with Krishna. But that bitterness increased the sweetness. So both things are going on. Just like in a feast, you got the sweets and the bitter melon. In the Vrindavan Lila, you have the bitter and the sweet going on simultaneously here in the bamboos. They're taking Kerala and they're taking gulab jamuns both in their feast. You see? Sanatana Goswami is giving the Kerala explanation. And the Prabhupada is given in his translation of this verse the gulab jamun explanation. But both things are in the feast. And Kerala is there and the gulab jamuns are both there and they enhance each other. The gulab jamun, it's not that the Kerala is bad and the gulab jamuns are good, or the bitter melon is good and the gulab jamuns are bad. No, they're both good. So both explanations are very good. They enhance each other. So one may object that the trees in Vrindavan should not lament for that which is impossible for them to obtain. But actually, it's not impossible, as I explained previously. It may appear to be impossible that you're stuck in a bamboo body and what can you do, but no. If they really have the desire to switch rasas and become a gopi, they can do it. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. But they prefer to remain in that position and prefer to feel that vipralamba, which is the highest ecstasy. They prefer to taste that bitterness of being separated, but not being able to dance with Krishna, they're being stuck in a bamboo body so they can lament not being able to dance with Krishna. So, it's also stated here they're crying because they can't get the nectar of Krishna's lips. Well, one of them is, the one that became Krishna's flute. He's certainly getting. So these are all different moods, you see. It's just like, just like when we have those big feasts for Janmashtami, 1,008 preparations. There's so many varieties of tastes in that feast. It just staggers the imagination. So many varieties of preps, you see. Well, that just gives you a little inkling of an idea of what it's like in Krishna's pastimes. There's so many varieties of tastes, and they all combine together to become Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, which is the most incredible love feast you could ever even imagine, in millions and billions of kalpas. It's like Krishna's pastimes in Krishna Loka Leela, it's just like the most amazing love feast you could ever, that staggers the imagination. How about, 10 million and 8 preparations? Or 10 billion preparations? I mean, 1,008 is pretty amazing. I remember I was with one of my godbrothers on his Vyas Puja day, and they served him 1,008 preparations, if you can imagine. And he tasted every one, a little tiny bite. Was it 1,008? It must have been, was it 1,008 or 108, Davy? Remember? It must have been 1,008. Either way, it was 108 or 1,008. But he took every one. And the godbrothers were sitting right beside him. He passed it on down. We took and then passed it on down. And we take a little taste of each one and pass it down the road. Little bite, pass it down, little bite. And that way he ended the whole feast. It was amazing to see. So, this is the very high level stuff. I usually don't talk about this because, we need to hear the basics, before we can really go into this stuff. Since you're all reading this portion, I'm honoring you. I like the first canto the best. This is so high level, and you can sometimes miss the whole means of how to achieve it if you're not well trained. You see, you're supposed to go through the first 9 cantos. I've assumed you've all gone through the first 9 cantos very carefully, therefore I'm willing to speak to you on the 10th canto. But normally we don't speak such high level topics, this 10th canto. Because unless we actually qualify ourselves by going through the first 9 properly, we'll misunderstand these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. We'll think that Krishna is an ordinary playboy having some illicit affairs with other men's wives, and therefore we can do it too. You see, people think, oh, this Krishna, the playboy class of men, they think, oh yes, I like Krishna very much. He has affairs with other men's wives, just like me. You see, he's my hero. You see? So we have to very carefully understand, gradually, step by step, what is this process of Krishna consciousness, how we actually qualify ourselves to regain our svarup as a bamboo tree. Jai Shri Shri Radha Golokananda. We have to understand what is the process of actually qualifying ourselves to become a bamboo or Vrindavan or a flute, or a butterfly, or a gopi, or a rock that Krishna takes his lunch on, or whatever it may be. We have to know what is the means of qualifying ourselves. We have to go through the standard process. That is described by Rupa Goswami. Adaushadha tata sanguta bhajano kriyo. Bhajano kriya. And we have to go through faith. We must have, first of all, we must have firm faith in the process. Then we become interested to associate with pure devotees. And then thereafter we take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master who engages us in executing the regulative principles of devotional service under his orders. And then by doing that, well, you become free of all the unwanted habits. And then you become firmly fixed in devotional service, you see. And then you get taste. And then you get attachment. And then you get ecstatic emotion. And then you become finally qualified, the prema level, to actually re-enter into your svarup, your eternal relationship with Krishna. But you have to go carefully, step by step. You got to have firm faith. You got to associate with the pure devotees. You have to become initiated. You have to follow the orders of your spiritual master very sincerely without deviating from the principles. In this way, you become fixed up and all of these things will come. Don't try to shortcut the process. You have to go through the authorized system. It's only by the mercy of your spiritual master that you can achieve these perfectional stages. So you have to become completely sold out, surrendered servant of your spiritual master. He, by his mercy, you can regain your rasa. By no other means can you regain your rasa with Krishna. So you have to become very, very dutiful, surrendered disciple of your spiritual master. And then he will personally take you into your eternal relationship with Krishna. He will take you there. He will take you back to your original identity with Krishna. By the mercy of your spiritual master, you will regain your original identity in the spiritual world and the pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada described, actually, the spiritual master, he is a resident of Krishna Loka. You see? He's got his Krishna Loka passport. He's a citizen of Krishna Loka, the spiritual master. He's not a citizen of this world. You see? Spiritual master, he is a resident of Krishna Loka. And he will help you get your citizenship. Just like sometimes people immigrate, you know, they want to get citizenship. So the spiritual master, he's a resident of Krishna Loka, and he will help you get your citizenship in Krishna Loka. If you follow his instructions faithfully throughout your entire life, chanting every day at least 16 rounds, following the regulated principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. This material world is not your home. Spiritual world is your home. So if you want to become repatriated in your original abode, to become re-established in your original home, the transcendental abode of Krishna, then you must follow the pathway, the bhakti marg, as so perfectly given by Srila Prabhupada. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Well, I guess we can end the class early. All right, go ahead.
This house, the bamboo tree that were jubilating, is one of the family members, is a fruit of Krishna. Mm. So how can we say that we people, we can enjoy that some of our family member or have gone to Krishna Loka?
So how? What is it? No.
Let's say that there are many people who have gone to Krishna Loka, to Loka Vrindavan.
Many people have gone to Krishna Loka?
Yeah. So just as the bamboo, they were jubilating that the family members, they are the fruit of Krishna.
So you understand this question, Devi?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Just as the bamboo tree, they were jubilating that they are one of their member is a fruit of Krishna.
Right.
So we people, we also have so many of our members, they have gone to Krishna Loka. So they are having pastime with Krishna.
Yes, yes.
So, as you say that...
We hope so anyway.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada confirmed that Jayananda had gone. Yeah.
Okay. So we also must be jubilating in the same way as the bamboo.
Yes, we feel very good that our, just like Prabhupada confirmed, our Jayananda went to Goloka Vrindavan, and we can understand that others must have gone also. So we feel very good to know that Prabhupada said that we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. So we feel very happy to know that there are so many ISKCON devotees have gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. We feel very enlivened by them. Yeah. Even though we haven't yet gone, we're still suffering here. I just like I remember my godbrother Grihila Prabhu. He left his body, and instead of lamenting that, oh, my body is now diseased, I'm dying soon, it's horrible, instead of lamenting, he was feeling sorry for us. You have to stay back. I'm going to Krishna Loka, and you all are staying back in this rotten, miserable place. He was feeling sorry for us, you see. So sometimes we feel sorry, oh no, I have a disease. But Grihila was feeling fortunate, feeling sorry for us healthy devotees who have to stay around a while longer in the material world. Feeling sorry for us, you see. So yeah, we feel very happy that so many of our dear devotees, they have gone back to Krishna Loka. And we're looking forward to getting their association once again. And whatever way Krishna likes to engage us, whatever way our spiritual master engages us there in Krishna's pastimes, we're very much looking forward to that. Any other questions? Okay. Hare Krishna Sankarshan Dasadikari Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Devotees usually say that it is very easy to chant the holy name, but for me it is very difficult, especially when it comes to the 11th offense, which means inattentiveness. My mind always wanders from here and there. Could you please give me your mercy and give me some tips to chant attentively? Well, there's two approaches. There's the approach of the yogi and the approach of the bhakta. There's two ways. The yogi's approach is mechanical. When that mind goes away, you got to grab it and bring it back. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam ashtadam tatastato niyamyatadatman yivashangyat. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, from whatever the mind wanders, one must certainly bring it back and fix it in the self. That's one approach. But you know, that's a mechanical approach. There's a higher level approach for bringing the mind under control, and that is the approach given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He has given a very nice verse in this connection. Tateinukampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmagatam vafakam. No, that's the wrong verse. Let's see. How does that verse go? The verse, I do not know how much nectar. Do you know how that verse goes? So yes, tunde tandavali vriting vitanate tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamadi gati gate kunarbhyadebraspiham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sravindriyanam kritim na jane janita kriyadvam amitai krishneti varnadvai. If you will always remember this verse by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, you will never, ever, ever again have any difficulty with inattentiveness while chanting. So all you have to do is remember this verse. Tundai tandavali vritetang tunandavi labdiye. So what is the meaning? If you can't remember the Sanskrit, if you can remember the English and the purport, you will never have inattentiveness problems ever again with your japa. Here's the translation. And by the way, Prabhupada told George Harrison he should make a popular song out of this verse. I don't think George ever did it, but it's a very nice verse, and it's very, very profound, and it's very wonderful. Just learn the meaning of this verse, and you'll never have inattentive japa ever again. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because whenever I utter these syllables on my tongue, they are dancing in my mouth. And when they are dancing, there is so much nectar that my one little mouth cannot capture all that nectar. So I want to have millions of mouths to capture that nectar. And when those sound vibrations, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, there's so many unlimited oceans of nectar. I want to have millions and billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when that Krishna sound vibrations enters into the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in ecstasy. So I guarantee you, if you can remember this, when you're chanting your japa, your mind will never wander ever again. Never again. Never again wander. You may say, what is the meaning? I mean, what is the meaning? What does he mean? Millions of mouths and billions of years. What is the meaning? So here you have a nice big temple room here, okay? Now use the temple room as an example. Okay, let's say that you went out on book distribution for the marathon and you set a new record for Mauritius. The most Bhagavad Gita distributed in one day by any devotee in the history of Mauritius Yatra. And devotees wanted to give you a wonderful present to reciprocate. Said, Prabhu, we wanted to give you, and you come in the temple room, and the whole temple room is filled with glove jamans from the floor to the ceiling, completely packed with, 50,000 glove jamans in the temple room. And say, Prabhu, here, it's all yours. Have a good time. Say, well, I really appreciate the gesture, but what can I do with this one little mouth and one little stomach with 50,000 glove jamans? I mean, come on, Prabhu. I'll get sick after the 10th one. I mean, I could enjoy 50,000 glove jamans this evening. I wouldn't be able to get up from Mangalarti to you, Probably if they take me to the hospital, pump out my stomach, it'd be too much. But if you can give me 50,000 mouths and 50,000 bellies, then I can handle 500,000 glove jamans. You see? So Rupa Goswami is saying, what I can do with this one little mouth, what can I do with these two little ears? Give me millions of mouths and billions of ears, and then I can really, really relish this namras, you see. So if a devotee is having attentiveness problems while chanting japa, it just means they don't realize how much nectar there is in the name. They're forgetting that there's unlimited rasa, and there's so much rasa in one utterance of Krishna that it can, like glob jamun just squirting out of Krishna, filling up the whole universe so powerfully, it'll break through all the coverings of the universe. Simply one pure utterance of Krishna has so much nectar, it'll pierce through the coverings of the universe. The glob jamun juice is so much, it'll fill up the whole universe with such pressure, it'll burst through all the coverings of the universe. Simply one pure utterance of Krishna. So we're thinking the nectar is in sleeping or eating, or maybe getting married and having some children, or making some money, or becoming popular, or becoming famous or powerful, or learned, or this or that. But that's a ridiculous thing. This is all phantasmagoria. There's only one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's only one place where you can get any nectar anywhere in the 14 worlds, even all the way to becoming Lord Brahma himself. There's nowhere you can get nectar except right here, these two syllables, Krishna. So if you understand this, Prabhu, if you understand this, Mataji, you will never, ever, ever have inattentive problems ever again. It's time for the feast. You have any time? Have any problem focusing on the feast? Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to take Bishanam, but I'm thinking about something else. I have a hard time taking this Bishanam. Does anybody have a hard time taking Bishanam because their mind is distracted? See the point? Does anybody have a hard time taking Bishanam because their mind is distracted? I'm trying to get my spoon in my mouth, but I can't quite make it because I'm thinking about something else. You know what I'm saying? No one has a difficult time honoring Bishanam. So we're forgetting that Krishna is more relishable than 10 million love feasts. Krishna, this one, these two syllables, we're forgetting. We become dull, you see. We forgot Rupa Goswami's teaching. If you will simply remember what Rupa Goswami has said, you will never be inattentive ever again in your japa. You just have to remember what he has said. I recommend everybody should learn this verse. It's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I forget where, but look it up in the Veda base. Tunde, look up, just look on, if you have a Veda base, just check off Chaitanya Charitamrita and then look for Tunde, T-U-N-D-E, and then you'll be able to find it easily. Tunde, Tandavali, Ritavit. You find it very easily on the Tunde. That's the first word of the verse. It's quotes from the Pajavali, quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, no more attention problems. Just got to remember Rupa Goswami's instructions. So our time has gone over. And so we thank you all very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly do not be distracted by the material energy. Kindly understand that full nectar is here. Don't become destroyed by material propaganda. I talked to a lady last night who, her daughter was a devotee, but she sent her off for a college education in the UK, and she came back as a karmi. So don't be disturbed by any material propaganda like Stephen Hawking that says everything came out of nothing. Understand this science fully well and deeply well from the bona fide spiritual master, and you never become disturbed by any of this nonsense, mental speculation garbage that's taught in the universities and is, appears in television, in magazines, in newspapers, and the Gramikata going around the town. Please understand, everything else outside of this Vedic knowledge is nescience. It's all here. Everything outside of this Vedic knowledge is simply nescience, pure nescience. Thank you very much. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.